Welcome to our sermon series entitled Never the Same, a study through John's Gospel. In the book of John, we see Jesus encounter men and women from different social, moral, and religious backgrounds. Jesus responds to each person according to his or her need and invites them into a relationship with him. When someone accepts that invitation, they are left never the same. Open your Bible to the book of John, and let's begin.
O Lord, you have an eternal plan for your creation. In your plan, Christ came into the world to redeem us and to reconcile us back to you. I pray that your Spirit would reveal Christ to us today in soul-changing ways. I pray that we might encounter Christ with the same clarity as people in the gospel encountered him. And I pray that we could learn to be daily followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. We haven't looked at a painting for a while. Let's look at a painting together. I know you love these paintings. This painting is in a Civil War museum, and it marks the moment when General Grant and the Union Army and General Lee and the Confederate Army met at the McClellan House to discuss terms of surrender. This isn't the first time they met. They actually met once before in the Mexican-American War, and Grant remembered it well. Lee didn't remember it at all. Grant remembered it because Lee scolded him for his uniform not being pressed and being dirty. Ironically, all these years later, if you look carefully at this painting, Robert E. Lee is wearing a tailored uniform, the best uniform you could buy in Richmond. Look at it. It's tailored. It's got brass buttons on it. He's wearing a gold sash and carrying an expensive sword. You can see his boots are expensive and finely polished. If you look at Grant, he's wearing a private's uniform that the government gave out. He's wearing a government-issued private's uniform, and the only sign of his rank is the gold bars on his coat shoulders. If you look at his boots, they're actually muddy. Grant had been riding 2 days in trying to surround Lee's army and end the war, and he showed up mud-splattered for this surrender moment. In the artist's mind, it's the moment they shook hands and Lee agreed to surrender. It was a meeting that changed everything. 600,000 American casualties in the Civil War, and it came to an end with this meeting. General Lee went on to be the president of a small college in Virginia, and General Grant went on to be the president of the United States of America. And for all you Lee fans, Lee was nothing compared to Grant. Grant won the war. People talk about Lee like he freaking won. He lost. Grant out-generaled him. You never know when you're going to have a strategic meeting. You never know in your life when you might be having a moment and meeting someone that will change everything. Some of you have had strategic moments. You met someone, and that person made a big difference in your life. I met Sharon, golden moment of my life. Big mistake she would like to correct, but some of you have had magic moments where you met the right person and it led to you getting the career job that you always wanted. Some of you have had strategic moments that didn't go so well. Something very ugly happened in that moment, but it changed you forever. In John's gospel, we have some incredible moments where people met Christ and it changed everything. And we're going to look at some of them in this sermon series. And the first one we're going to start with is in the first chapter of John's gospel. John the Apostle wrote, "The next day again, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus." This is a day like any other day. John is down by the Jordan River. He's preaching sermons and talking to people and baptizing people in the river. And Andrew and John the Apostle happened to be listening to John that day. And John saw Jesus walk by, and he simply pointed and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." There are people in the world who need us to point them to Christ. Would you open your heart to this? There are people in the world who've lost their ability to see Christ by themselves, and they need us to point them to him. Now, this doesn't have to be a two-hour argument with somebody. It might be something very simple. Very, very, very simple. Like someone you work with having a difficult time, and you might say, "You know, maybe you should give Christ another look in your life." Church, that's doable, isn't it? Is that really so hard that somebody you work with who's really, really struggling in a way that is not putting them on the spot, you simply might say to them, "What if you gave Christ another chance in your life?" Because they've lost their ability to connect with Christ. They need that from you. Now, what they don't need is a 25-hour lecture on what a terrible person they are, and that's why they're in this condition, but Jesus can save them. Church, that's not what they need. They need someone with a gentle spirit who could simply say, "Maybe you could give Christ another chance in your life." Look what John said. It's not long and it's not hard. All he said was, "Behold the Lamb of God." We don't use the word "behold" anymore, other than in religious ways. Look, the Lamb of God. I find it real interesting that John the Baptist could have pointed them to many things. He could have said, "Look again at all the good stuff the church does." He could have said, "Look one more time at the noble Christian tradition that we have." Or he might have said, "You know, there are a lot of good people who are followers of Jesus Christ." But he knew none of that was enough. And so he simply said to his to John the Apostle and Andrew, what you really need is a fresh look at Jesus Christ. Church, would you let me say to you this morning, what you really need is a fresh look at Jesus Christ. For some of you, Christ has grown stale. He just isn't that interesting to you anymore. You can remember a time when Christ was much more interesting to you than he is now. You can remember a time when you were more anxious to meet him in prayer. You were more earnest about trying to be the person he wants you to be. You had a different intensity in your heart about relating to Christ. But day after day, life experience after life experience, Christ has become and also ran in your life. You just don't look forward to prayer time the way you used to. And reading the Gospels has become a chore instead of a delight. And when somebody says to you, Christ wants you to serve him, you feel like it's intrusive. Church, I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm saying you need a fresh look at Christ. You need to one more time behold the Lamb of God. You need to see his majesty, his wonder, his beauty, his love, his grace, his mercy, his gentleness, his compassion. You need to look at him one more time and see him in all his beauty, because it'll make a difference in your Christian life. Looking at the church is not enough. Following tradition will never get you there. And just because some quarterback who is very popular is a Christian, that doesn't make me a better man tomorrow. Church? Because I know some good Christian quarterbacks who got pounded in the playoffs. Just saying. When Andrew and John looked at Jesus, they were attracted to him. Listen to what they did. They said, there's something more interesting about Jesus than John the Baptist, and they left John the Baptist, and they followed Jesus. Church, maybe it's time you got a fresh look at Jesus Christ, and it might change the way you're looking at some other things. It might make sense one more time to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. It might make sense to you. When people see Christ clearly enough, they're always attracted to him. Church, I know it's true. I've seen it happen for 30-some years in this church. People get another good look at Jesus Christ and they say, I want to be a better follower of Christ. I want to change my life. I want to do some things differently. The Bible can be so viscerally true. So I don't know about you. If somebody's following me, it doesn't take me very long to catch on. Somebody's following me. Now, if it's the FBI, I don't know. But just somebody normally following you, it doesn't take you too long to catch on, hey, somebody's following me. Right? And then you can do one of two things. You can avoid them and ignore it, or you can turn around and say, can I help you? Right? So Jesus isn't an avoider. So Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? That is an odd reply. I'm going to talk about that. So they came and saw where he was staying, and he said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. All right. John the Apostle and Andrew start following Jesus. It dawns on him, somebody's following me. And he turns around and says, what do you want? Well, now they're kind of on the spot. If you're following somebody and they say, why are you following me? So they came up with this weird thing to say, we just wondered where you lived. Come on, that's pretty odd, isn't it, church? Now we would say, what's your email address? And Jesus said, come if you really want to see. Christ says to the same thing to those who want to encounter him today. What do you want? What do you want from Christ? You're followers of Christ. You're here today because somehow or another, there's something about Christ that is compelling to you. And it's compelling enough to get out of bed, get ready, drive in the cold weather, and come in here. So if Christ said to you today, what do you want? I hope you would have a better answer than to say, where do you hang out? What do you want from Christ? What are you looking for in Jesus Christ? What kind of person do you want him to be? Because it happens with Christ in the very same way it happens with a lot of people. We kind of want Christ to let us tell him what kind of person to be. I don't like it when somebody makes me their project. I'm going to work on you. Anybody? I don't want to be your project. You take care of yourself, right? Christ doesn't want to be our project where we're continually telling him what kind of person he should be if he wants to please us. Hey, Jesus, if you want to please me, you got to do this and this, and you can't do that and that. Church, say people don't do that. I run into people all the time who are angry with Christ because he didn't do something they wanted him to do. I run into people all the time who are angry with Christ because he makes a demand on their life that they don't want him to demand. What do you want from Christ? What is it you want? He's not Papa Smurf. He's not going to wave his magic wand and make your life perfect and have no problems. If you want that, you've misunderstood who Christ is. Church? What do you want from Christ? Because Christ doesn't adapt himself to pander to us. I'm going to tell you one more time. Christ loves you with an eternal love, but he's never going to pander. Church? He's not going to change clothes to suit you. But he does say, if you want the right thing, you have come to the right place. Church, if you want your sin forgiven, You've come to the right place when you come to Christ. And I don't know about you, but I just don't want to show up in heaven without my sin forgiven. Huh? I've made enough dumb mistakes. I don't want to show up and be accountable for it all. I want it forgiven. If you want someone to call the best out of you, if you want someone to be your partner and every day say to you, are you living life to its fullest? Are you being who you were created to be? Are you doing anything meaningful and rich with your life? If you want that, then Christ is who you need. If you want to be comfortable and sit on your couch and eat stale popcorn and watch reruns of Gilligan Island, you have misunderstood Christ. Church, sorry, Gilligan's Island's the only show I can think of. I don't even know if it has reruns anymore. The second thing Christ says, if you really want to see, you have to come. There are two verbs here. One is an imperative and the other is a future. You must come if you want to see in the future. You see Christ as closely as you follow Christ. Do you get it? You stop following, you stop seeing. It's just that plain. Christ is on the go. He has things to do. He has an eternal purpose to accomplish. He's living, he's alive, and he means business. And as you follow, you see. But when you grow complacent and Christ walks on in life, it gets harder and harder and harder to see him. Some of you know that's true, don't you? Church? Christ makes an invitation to you today, and he says to you, if you really want to see me at my best, then start following me. Have you ever really come to Christ in full faith? I mean, trusted him with everything. Isn't this what we do? We guard parts of our heart. And we say to Christ, you can have this part of my heart, but you stay out of this part. Right? I've told you before. When I was young, I didn't trust Christ. I was afraid he was going to make me go to some place and be a missionary, live in mud huts and eat fried grubs. That's what I didn't trust him. I never really trusted him because I had it in the back of my mind that he didn't really want what was best for me. He was going to coerce me into doing something I really didn't want to do. Some of you can identify with that, can't you? You have a lack of trust because you really don't believe that Christ wants what's best for you, so you guard part of your heart. How about this? Have you ever trusted Christ, or are you afraid he'll make you a dummy? You know, if you trust Christ, you have to believe things that people think are stupid. Church? Look, I trust Christ. He's made me smarter, not dumber. And if I had trusted him more, I'd be even more smart and less dumb. Church? Not everything that Christ gets blamed on is Christ, right? Not everything that people say is Jesus is Jesus. Have you ever really just trusted him? You've just trusted him enough to say, I believe beyond what I understand that you want what is absolutely best for me. So I'm opening my heart to you. I'm showing you the good and the bad. I'm being brutally honest with you. This is what's best about who I am, and this is what's most ugly, and I trust you. No one who puts their trust in him will be put to shame. That's the promise of our book. Have you ever really trusted him and said, I really believe you are the way, the truth, and the life, and I trust my mind with you. Would you please teach me the truth? Church? See, here's what I'm saying. If I can trust him in that way, I begin to see him in an altogether different light. If I can't trust him in that way, I always see him with a little bit of a jaundiced eye because I don't really trust that he wants what's best for me. Church, are you open to this? I only see Christ as clearly as I trust him. Because where my trust ends, that's where I become blind. I stop seeing the one who's altogether worthy of trust, and I start seeing someone who isn't altogether worthy of trust. Church? And now I'm blind to the true Christ. Have you ever come to Christ soul to soul? Let me see if I can talk about this in a wise way. There's something about who you are. It's your psyche. It's your true inner self. It's the real you. Right? That's your soul. Very rarely do people see our souls. We send out a front man, the person we want people to think we are, right? This means yes, doc, I agree. This means no. We can do this together. Sadly, we send our front man out to Christ, and it doesn't work. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking some time and sitting in a quiet place and turning your mind and your heart away from the billion things that you think you have to do and simply quietly saying to Christ, you said if I draw near to you, you would draw near to me. And then you search for the presence of Christ with your soul. Church, some of you know what I'm talking about here. Your soul, somehow or another, beyond all limitations, has a sense of the presence of Christ. Some of you know what that's like. You've been there. It's holy. Have you ever come to Christ soul to soul? Sometimes I pray this prayer. I said as quietly as I can. Then I say this to Christ. Not asking you for anything. The thing I really need most is to just sit quietly in your presence for a little bit. Church? And then I sit quietly. And in my inner self, I seek the Lord. It's not mystical. I don't see angels. I don't hear voices. But I seek to come as close to Christ as I possibly can. Church? come soul to soul, and you will see. I am never more convinced of the incredible majesty and goodness of God than when I'm sitting soul to soul with him. And I find myself saying to Christ, I can't believe you are so good. I can't believe you're so gracious. I can't believe you're so forgiving. I can't believe the nonsense that you have put up with from me being this awesome person that you are. Church, when you come to Christ soul to soul, you're going to change. Something of the nature of God rubs off on you. You don't go away from those holy moments the same person that you went into them. Then you know what you'll find? The same thing that Andrew and John the Apostle found. When they spent a little time with Jesus, they wanted to spend more time with him. Do you know what I find? The more time I spend with Christ, the more I want to spend with him. But the opposite works too. The less time I spend with him, the less time I want to spend with him. Church? You see, that's how this thing works. The more time you spend with him, the more clearly you see him, the more you are impressed with him, the more you want to be around him. But the less time you spend with him, and the more you push him to the back of your life, the more you ignore him and live like you can get by without him, the less and less and less you want to take that quiet time to come and see. Church? Say, Doc, what do you want from me? Here's what I want. I want you to create some quiet time and sit down and seek the Lord with all your heart. I want you to draw as close to him as your soul can possibly draw. I want you to trust him. I want you to trust him. I want you to believe that if you draw near to him, he loves you so much that he's going to do good things in you and through you. And that you don't have to be afraid of him. Ironically, when Andrew saw Jesus clearly, the first thing he wanted to do was tell somebody else about him. This is human nature. Have you ever had a friend who went to a fancy restaurant and they couldn't wait to tell you about it? They're all pumped up, aren't they? Yeah, we went there. We couldn't believe it. The decor was awesome. They served these special things. And they're all energetic. And it's not like it's not like the restaurant paid them to do a commercial. They just can't wait to tell you about it. Huh? Or people go on vacation, take 732 pictures. Two of them are interesting. But man, they act like every single picture is, wow, you should have seen this. When people have a good experience, they want to share it with someone. My buddy just bought a new F-150. He couldn't wait to walk me out there and show it to me. Had that new car smell in it. Ford didn't pay him to be excited about that. He just was. This is human nature. When I have a beautiful moment in life, I want to talk to somebody else about it. The reason we talk so little about Christ is because we have so few beautiful moments with him. If we had more beautiful time with Christ, we would find ourselves talking about him without being in our duty. It would just be happening. Church. I love it when somebody has a wonderful moment with Christ and they can't wait to tell me about it. Church, Andrew wasn't doing his duty. He wasn't checking a religious box. He wasn't somehow or another fulfilling an obligation when he went and said to his brother Peter, "Peter, we found the Messiah." He couldn't help himself. And when we find great delight in Christ, we will find ourselves talking about him without even consciously deciding to do it. Because he is altogether beautiful. You'll find it easy to say something about the majesty of Christ because you yourself are genuinely touched by it. If you aren't genuinely touched by it, then no amount of religious pressure will ever get you to speak about the wonder of Jesus Christ the way you should. Church. And then Jesus says to Peter, "Your name is Simon, but I'm changing your name. I'm going to call you Cephas." The Aramaic, the Greek, Peter, stone. Remember I told you before that names in pre-psychology vocabulary are character. Peter, I'm changing your character. I'm making you rock solid. So Peter wasn't rock solid. If Jesus said Peter was rock solid, that's good enough for me. Church. If Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Brothers and sisters, when you spend time with Christ, he changes your character. He changes who you are. You get to be more like him. It makes sense to be more like him. You find a longing in your heart to be more like him. Church, here's what I'm saying this morning. We need a fresh encounter with Jesus Christ. We need to look at him one more time and see him as he really is. Living on last year's look at Christ won't get you through this year. Living on a religious moment that you had 10 years ago won't get you through this year. Every one of us need to come one more time. And we need to look as clearly as the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to see. And we need to see Christ in his wonder and in his glory. We need to feel his steadfast love and faithfulness. We need to experience his grace. Because when we do, it'll make us different people, and we will talk about him in a very, very different way. Our dear Heavenly Father, I look to you. I believe in the majesty of Christ. I believe in the wonder of Christ. I want to see Christ more clearly in my own life. And I pray for myself and for everyone who's here this morning. I pray that your Spirit would do what only he could do, and that he would move across our hearts, and we would feel a longing to draw near to Christ one more time, to see him in his glory and his majesty, to feel the wonder of who he is, and then to live in a closer relationship to him every single day. And I ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.